So we have seen some of the type of interviews which can be structured, where structured questionnaires have been prepared and same questions are asked to all candidates who are likely to be applying for the same post, or there can be unstructured, there can be mix of both, there can be behavioral interviews, especially for say those who are going to work as medical social worker or the counselors and other specific kind of people, nurses also. Then stressful, where again for counselors, psychiatrists, etc. So these are the various types of interviews which may be taken based on the type of job that person is applying. Let us understand what are the various barriers which can be there for effective selection. These barriers can be in the form of perception. If you perceive somebody as very good by his initial behavior and one or two answers he has given, and you claim that he is going to be an excellent candidate for this, so this is not the right way. It's a barrier to your judgment. One should be more logical, rational while judging a person, rather than one or two perceptions, say stereotyping, halo effect, horn effect, etc. These are part of perceptions that one gets and then decide about the candidate's suitability for the job is something which is not good. So it's a barrier to the effective selection. One should be always fair, one should be objective rather than, you know, having a subjective bias against a person. Suppose you have got a subjective bias against the minority, say Muslims, you are a staunch Hindu Brahmin, and then when that person comes with beard and then comes and you saw him greeting other Muslim with Salaam Alaikum or something, and you immediately come to know that he is a Muslim, and because he is a Muslim, you are not going to select him because you are a staunch Hindu. This is not the way. One has to see that that person, for what job he has applied, is he having the adequate knowledge, skills, attitude and right kind of candidate for that. On merit only, you are not supposed to judge him based on his race, religion or any other aspect. You should not be subjective at all. You should be absolutely objective and fair while taking the interview. Then comes validity. Many times the interviewer who goes to take interview may not be having adequate technical knowledge of that particular thing for which he goes as an interviewer, in which case he may ask certain questions to the interviewee which are not exactly relevant to the job, and then the questions asked by him are not going to be valid for that job at all. So one has to have the validity of what one is asking for. If you are going to ask certain invalid questions, then naturally it is not going to help us in selecting the proper candidate. So it's a kind of barrier. Unless you are asking some invalid question during stress interview where you want to check the emotional maturity of that person, while answering some invalid questions also and showing his presence of mind, then it's a different thing. But in most of the interviews, you are not taking the stress interview. So one has to be asking only relevant questions regarding that job. So the validity of what questions are asked should be regarding that job, then only it is the proper selection to be made. So validity can be a barrier to effective selection. Then reliability, something which you are going to be consistent over a period of time, then only it's a reliable test. If by chance you are writing something and then after 2 hours or after 1 or 2 weeks for the same question that is asked, if your answers vary, they are 180 degree apart, then naturally you are not a reliable person. Reliability is something where consistency should be there in 2 or 3 times if the same thing is asked at an interval of say 2 days or 5 days or 8 days or so on and so forth. One cannot change so much drastically within few days that way. So whatever you are whenever you are selecting a person, the test that you are giving that person also should be reliable. It should not have any kind of bias. It should not have, there should be a consistency in the questions and answers that are given, and it should be same for the same kind of job. Similarly, when somebody is answering under pressure, so even a coercion is there, then naturally this is not the right way to judge a person. So these are some of the barriers of effective selection. Now, background check is extremely important in today's world because of the severe competition, cutthroat competition that has occurred after liberalization, privatization and globalization. And many times there are a lot of financial constraints. What's happening? The candidates are trying to fudge their resumes. There are studies which say that 25% of resumes that you get, they are lying on the resume at least at three places minimum. And the curriculum vitae that you see are not exactly what they are telling. There are falsified statements in the curriculum vitae whereby they are showing their higher abilities to fit to the job they have applied for, and hence one has to check it thoroughly from various sources. In the background check, one can verify the things written in the application blank through telephonic verification while asking the previous employer whether the things that have been mentioned in this are they true or not. Of course, one has to get the consent of the candidate before doing this verification, and in the application blank one should always write down two statements. One is whatever I have written is true and fair, completely true as per my knowledge, and if something is found wrong, I will be liable for rejection without any questions asked. And the other thing is, I am giving you authority to ask any of my previous universities, previous employers, to authenticate whatever I have written in this application blank, and I have got no objection against it. So once you have taken the consent of that, you can go for background check and you can send the verification letter. So in writing you can get it from the previous employer or previous university whether this fellow, what he has written, is he having that kind of degree or not. Many times people are faking their degrees when they are writing their degrees. It can be a foreign degree, it can be Indian degree. So whatever they have written, you can verify it from the universities from which they have written that they have got this degree. It can be a graduation degree, it can be MBA degree, it can be master's degree, whatever it is. So you can meet with the candidate's previous employers if required. Written permission from candidate for checking credentials from previous employers is required. Now, once you have taken the interview, you will have to find out whether the applicant is qualified enough. If it is yes, then you can give conditional job offer in the form of contingent to meeting all the secondary conditions, that background check and is medical and all. If you found that he is not qualified, then you review application information, personal interview testing and background check, and then you can later send a regret letter, thanks for coming for the interview and all that, but somehow we have found a better suitable candidate for this post and you are rejected. Simple acceptable questions. Once conditional offer is made, do you have any responsibilities that conflict with the job vacancy? You can ask this so that in case he is having anything, preferably a close relative should not be kept in the same department. One of the main reasons can be if somebody dies or somebody is getting married in the family, both of them are going to remain absent at that time, or there can be a collusion of both of them easily, which may be adversely affecting the job. do you have any physical defects that would prevent you from performing certain jobs where to your knowledge vacancies exist? So he has to declare if he is having any physical deformities which may be adversely affecting his job performance. Of course, in medical test this thing is going to be confirmed, but he has to declare it so that it is easy. For certain things it is difficult to judge medically also. Suppose a person is having a history of epilepsy, that is he is getting fits. Now he gets fits not daily, he gets occasionally, once in 3 months, once in 2 months. But unless he declares, the doctor cannot come to know. And suppose he is going to work at heights or with moving machinery and he develops epileptic fit at that time, it can lead to death of that person also, because he just goes into muscle spasms, tonic and clonic convulsions, and he falls. And if he is working at a height, naturally if he falls from a height, he can die. Or if he is working in a moving machinery, he can fall into the moving machine and itself will lead to a major injury to that person, or even it can be fatal. So one has to declare these things. Vertigo, when a person is getting severe giddiness and he feels as if everything is rotating, he cannot see what's in front of him. So again, in those cases also, when he is working for moving machinery or heights, naturally it will be a problematic thing for him and even others who are working in the surrounding area. So he has to declare about any physical defect that would prevent him from performing any jobs that he has applied for. Do you have adequate means of transportation to get to work? Have you had any major illness, whether treated or untreated, in the past 10 years? Have you ever been convicted of a felony, or do you have a history of being a violent person? This is very important to avoid negligent hiring or retention charge later. Because what will happen if he is violent? He is going to behave very odd, or he can be harmful to his colleagues or superiors or subordinates also. What's your educational background? The information required here would depend on the job related requirement of the position. So if he is applied for accountancy job, then he should be either BCom or MCom. If he has applied for medical job, then he should be either medical or paramedical job. Accordingly, he should be having the degree or diploma in that particular field. So once you have judged the person by all these means, and of course got his present address, etc., so that you know that in odd hours he will be able to come to the hospital right in time. So one has to, as an HR manager, one has to judge right from beginning when he is starting the screening of this candidate for various aspects, whether he is fit for the job or not. These things can be screening mainly for application to overall setup of the hospital, such as dealing with patients, whether he is compassionate, whether he is committed to his work, whether he has got empathy, because finally he is going to work in hospital where he is going to deal with patients. Then his public relations, how he behaves with others, in its requirement of unusual working hours, because the jobs like nurses, first aiders and all, they need to come to the hospital within a very short time. Suppose there is a disaster occurring in the nearby area, then they are supposed to come within a very short time to tackle those multiple casualties that are arriving in the hospital. So preferably that person should be staying near the hospital, in the vicinity, or within a short time you should be able to reach the hospital. So after deciding about all that, an offer letter may be given to him where he is accepting that offer, because it's a legal contract, and within how many days he is going to join, that can be given, which is subject to his medical. So pre-employment medical examination, when it is over and he is found to be fit for that, then only he is called on the date time given to him, then he comes to the office and he is given the employment letter, that again he signs, and then he can start the work. Initially, induction is done. Now, what is induction? Induction is done not only by HR manager but also by department head. where handouts are given regarding the hospital in detail. It will tell about what kind of hospital it is, where it is located, how many floors, how many departments it has got, what all services it is providing, what is the values of the hospital, what are the mission statement of the hospital, what are the charges, what are the various facilities available at this. Then brochures are given in detail, some of the pictorial aspects are also given. Manual is given to this person so that he knows exactly for various kinds of facilities available, what kind of job he is going to do, what kind of people are there at various levels, what are the rights of this person regarding leave, regarding the salary structure and all that. Everything is given in the manual. To develop realistic job expectations, positive attitudes and job satisfaction, you are supposed to give him in detail about all the aspects of the hospital so that he feels that he is wanted here, and then he can know what are his future careers which are likely to occur in this hospital. It should reduce the anxiety, and this will help in a person becoming more homely and friendly, and maybe a buddy can be given to him who is going to take care of his any queries in the future, and he can handhold him to show him everything in the hospital and get him acquainted with various people with whom he is going to work. So it will reduce the anxiety of the person, it will reduce the employee turnover also, because otherwise many times it has been seen that within first 6 months many of the employees who join an organization or a hospital, they leave the organization because they feel that they are unwanted here, or this is not the right place for them to work because of some rejection felt mentally or some incapability felt of doing the work, because enough of training is not given at the beginning to them how to take care of the job he is going to do. So to reduce the time of supervision of the supervisor, these are the various objectives of induction. To develop a sense of belongingness, when a buddy is there who is going to take care of him, who is gives emotional and mental support to this person, then naturally it will develop a sense of belongingness to this person. His morale will improve. To adapt oneself according to culture of the organization, and it will be easy for him to adapt to the culture and values of the organization for which he is going to work. So the techniques can be general orientation lecture. If there are 10 or more people joining together, then there can be a general orientation lecture given by HR manager as well as the department head regarding the hospital, where HR manager is going to tell them how the hospital started, what are the vision and mission statement of the hospital, what are the general facilities of the hospital, what are the pay structure, what are the facilities available in the form of canteen, society, the shops, etc., which he can use, then the salary structure overall, and all HR aspects can be given to him. Then the department head, different department head can tell about the departments, their departments, where they are located, what all services they are providing, how it is going to help the new employee. Everything can be told to them regarding their rights and their obligations also. Then the general tour of the hospital can be given by the buddy. Employee handbook may be given, where all the things are given in detail. Now, orientation is something where a planned introduction of employee to their own jobs, where they are going to work, how they are going to work. On-job training can be given there in the orientation initially. The basic aspects, who are their co-workers with whom they are going to work, they can be introduced. Then overall, what is the organizational chart of their department, the strategic choices of the orientation program can be either formal or informal. It can be formal if there are multiple people coming at a time, or where each and every department, these 10 people are then rotated and given the formal introduction of each, or it can be informal. Whenever they are going there, people are getting acquainted with others. It can be either individual at one person level, for a higher post it can be individual also, or it can be collective where multiple people are taken together. It can be serial, where they are going to go from one corner of the hospital to the other in a serial way and getting acquainted with each and every department. While it can be disjunctive, whenever the work occurs in that department, he goes there and gets acquainted with them. So after orientation, one should go for placement, where allocation of people to the jobs is given. It includes initial assignment of new employees and promotion, transfer or demotion of present employees. So whoever is there after promotion, it is as good as new job that he is going to do. So there also placement facilities should be there, whereby properly he is being told what all things is expected, what all job requirements are there for that, and what all people he is supposed to know and they can be met, and his introduction to those employees may be done so that it will be smooth for him to work in future with them. So placement based on assessment should be done, and then gradually it will be easy for that person to develop the sense of belonging, and he'll be able to competently do his job and excel in that. Now once the person enters, usually he is kept on probation for 6 months. So 1 month in advance, the HOD sent the probation rating form to be filled by the HR department. And 15 days before the end of the period, say after 5.5 months, the HOD is supposed to fill up the rating form and send it to the HR department, where he is going to recommend this person to be made permanent or not. Now in the probationary rating form, these are the various aspects to be filled up. One is name of the person, new person who has joined, his date of employment, so that you know exactly after 6 months he will be confirmed or not. Confirmation due on, so that will be 6 months after that. So suppose somebody is joining on 1st of July 2015, then 1st of January 2016 will be his confirmation due. So his designation as what he has been taken, whether it's an X-ray technician, lab technician, a junior medical doctor, a senior medical doctor, HOD or whatever. So his designation and his department. Then factors and rating should be given by the HOD regarding his quality of work, whether he excels in the quality of work, whether he is moderate quality of work he is giving, whether average quality of work is there or below normal quality of work he is giving. His attendance, whether it is 100% attendance, 90% attendance, whether he has remained absent without permission, his punctuality regarding his timing, whether at the right time or at least 5 to 10 minutes below his time, whether he is arriving, whether he is going. If he is going early daily, say 1 or 2 hours for some or the other reason, then it is not good. Whether he is punctual in everything or not, his dependability, whether the HOD can depend on him for any work given to him or not, his quantity of work, whether it is expected that he is supposed to take 50 x-rays in a day, being a x-ray technician. And suppose he is not able to take that within his shift duty hours and he is taking only 40 x-rays per day, then it is not good. So quantity of work also should be mentioned in the probationary rating form. Whether he takes initiative in whatever he is doing, whether he is suggesting some new ideas, is taking initiative to implement that after taking due approval from the immediate superior or not, whether he is able to work with others, whether he is very cooperative, does he respect and revere the elders, the superiors, the expert people or the senior people in his department and other departments. So whether he is able to work with others smoothly or not, how he attires, whether he is taking, suppose there is a uniform to be worn, is he wearing uniform, is he wearing apron daily, which is spotless, white, iron, is he combing his hair properly, is he cutting his nails properly. So everything is appearance wise, is he always with warm smile or not, on his face. So how he appears, then his interpersonal relations with subordinates, colleagues, superiors, and finally the head of the department is going to put his comments, whether he feels that he is an excellent worker, excellent employee, and he can be made permanent on the due date, that is say 1st of January 2016 or not, or whether whatever salary has been given, it should be raised by say 10% or not, or whether it's the same, that should be continued, and finally signature of the employee and the department head, both should be taken on that. And based on this probationary rating form, which goes to the HR manager, he is going to decide about whether that person should be made permanent or not. And if the HOD has told that he needs to improve, he is not fit for permanency, then either he can be removed if he is too bad, or he may be given a chance to prove himself for 6 more months. So after a year, again his probationary rating form may be filled by the HOD, and then the decision can be taken. So this is the way we have learned a very important function of HR manager in a hospital regarding recruiting and selecting the right candidate for the right job in a hospital, where we want to have people who are committed, people who are competent in their field, people who are going to be compassionate, and they are going to work enthusiastically, and they are going to be loyal to the hospital with confidentiality, so that our hospital patients will be delighted, their relatives will be delighted, and the name and fame of the hospital will be raised, the bar will be raised, and overall in the competitive field globally, our hospital should improve day by day. That's what should be the aim of the HR managers in recruitment and selection. Thank you.